All right. And welcome back to the Real God for Real People podcast. I'm with my co-host, Morgana. Hey, guys. Glad we're able to get back on and even do a little bit of video work with us for a little while. We're still working to see what's the best route to get clear video and good audio, but I think this is going to be a good tool for us. So, yeah. Morgana, you want to say anything to the people?
Hey, guys. Good to see everyone today. Well, maybe not see everyone because I can't see everyone.
Right. She's speaking that live audience.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here with you guys.
Hey, I love it. I love it. Nah, man. You speak that live audience live stream into the pod, you know. You ask not because you have not.
Right. 100,000 people. Good to see y'all.
I love it. So, this week, you know, on the Real God for Real People podcast, we try to talk about how a real God desires to intervene and also be a part of our everyday life. And also, this week, we wanted to talk about, hey, what does it look like to actually move in accomplishment, right? But actually live it out in a biblical way. Like, how do we accomplish things well and live well at the same time? Because we can accomplish a lot, and that's kind of the name of this one. It's not about what you accomplish, but how you live. Yes. If you look at the world on a regular basis, you have successful people who have accomplished many things but struggle with depression, anxiety, with self-doubt, with self-confidence, because their lifestyle publicly doesn't match their lifestyle privately. And we want to talk about that a little bit, because I think we all struggle with that. But yeah, Morgan, what you got? How you feel about that?
Man, I feel like this plays also a big part in what's on your paper as far as like what have you accomplished in your life, like with your resume, when you're speaking to people, when you're networking, all that stuff, they want to know what you've accomplished, right? But if what also comes into play is how you live in, like you could have accomplished all these things, but still be in depression, got trauma on your back, got a bunch of drama happening in your life, and somehow you're still balancing the accomplishments of life. I also want to say this, like there is a certain list already out there for just people in general. Go to high school, graduate, then go to college, graduate, then after that start your career. Once you start your career, you need to get married, then after you get married you need to have kids, and it's like that's not everybody's life though.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
That's not everybody's agenda. And when things don't happen the way society tells us the way it's supposed to happen, I feel like that's when some drama, doubt, depression comes into play, anxiety, because you're trying to fulfill all these accomplishments in life. I'm not sure if we're going down the right path here, but
hey, you're killing it. No, you got it.
That can sometimes bring on negativity in our minds that we're not good enough. And then we begin to start living a wild life outside of our accomplishments, because we're trying so hard to fulfill the accomplishments that we're not living right, because we're trying to do whatever it takes to accomplish what society tells us to accomplish. So
she got them preacher hands, y'all. And, you know, and then he said, no, I think you own it, right?
I'm from Memphis now. I live in Memphis, so we gotta use our hands.
I can't. But no, I think you're on it. When we think about where self-doubt or doubt of any sort comes from, it comes from believing something that in essence, until now has not been what you believe. Like, right? Mm-hmm. We think about as a whole where self-doubt started in the scriptures. It started with Eve. Eve has told one thing, right? And then she chooses to believe another thing the minute someone else or another outside source tries to contradict what God had said. Mm-hmm. And if we really think about it, if we go, like you're saying, if we go into life saying this is the trial marker for success, mm-hmm. and no one else has explained to us that's one trial marker for success, but mm-hmm. there's many roads you can take. And really all success needs to point back to God, right?
Yeah.
For it to actually be successful.
Yeah.
Then when we go that one trial marker, we realize, hey, my life isn't going in that trajectory. I must be failing. And so we lose track of living a purposeful life that's honoring to God in an effort to be successful. Like even if you think about music artists that started out in the church, but then they went into their career platform and didn't keep a direct line to a local church. Mm-hmm. They usually lose themselves in the process and they get all this success, but it means nothing because it has no eternal value.
Yeah. Right?
So no, I think you're killing it. Ooh. You know, whether we realize it or want to own it or not.
And I also will say, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong. Give me a hand over there, brother. Accomplishment, let me say, I had it in my head, but when you have a accomplished relationship with Christ, then you are living. You know, when your accomplishment for me now in life is fulfilling God's purpose, that's the accomplishment we should be focused on. That's the way of actually living. When we are focused on what he is asking us to do, we are in obedience and submission, because I'll be honest, I'm gonna step on out and be transparent. I'm in my obedience and submission era.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. We had long conversations like this. I get it.
I am in that season and I'm fighting with God. He fighting back with me. Not really, because I probably would have already been dead if he really fought
me. Dead ain't even the word. You just been like, so let me hit you with this pinky flip, and just the crater in which you once stood, you're no longer there. I hit you so hard, you ain't even go to hell. I don't know where you went. Nah, I'm glad I'm playing.
But God's grace and mercy endures forever.
Hey, he knew who he was dealing with when he created you. He said, oh, okay.
Man. I'm
gonna be like Jonah. That's cool. I'll give her a second.
I'll say this, and maybe this, I just want to make sure I stay on topic though too, but we realize, like, if we were treated the same way we treat God, we would have been done with ourselves.
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I think what we look at too, if we're not cautious, is the reason accomplishment and success is held to such a bar is because culture is trying to get us to build that outside of God. Like, you don't need God to be successful or to be well-groomed or to get into the school you want to get into or get the job you want to get to. And that's fine and dandy, but the issue there becomes, okay, that God is, even if you get it, quote unquote, without God's help, which isn't actually what's happening, you can't even keep these spaces without God's help in shaping your character for the title or the job that you have. And I think that's the piece that's missed, because folks will strive to achieve these spaces, but then they haven't looked out for their family and made that a priority. And now they're divorced or they're roommates with their family versus that being their first ministry. But I think at the root of it, I think why a lot of that happens is I think we struggle with making God the priority in the things we pursue, right? It's easy to pursue something for our own glory, but when we are pursuing it for God's glory and with his direction, it usually ends well. And not necessarily you did it, but it ends in a way that's honoring God and you're content, you know? But why do you think we struggle so much with making God's will our priority in our, like, our journey to being successful? What do you think?
Oh, say that one more time. You said, why do you think we...
Why do you think we struggle with making God's will our priority as we pursue success?
Struggling with that. Oh, man. Because we want... we mm-hmm. first off, our flesh.
Mm-hmm.
the horizon, mm-hmm. And we want to do what we want to do. Let's be honest here. So that's why it's always a struggle, because it says even in the Bible, daily deny mm-hmm. yourself, pick mm-hmm. up your cross and follow mm-hmm. him. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's new. And that's literally a daily thing, because you have to say, I'm going to wake up and it's not my will, it's God's will. Mm-hmm. It's not my way, it's his way. For you to have to do that, on the world side, you'd be like, well, he don't care about me. He don't love me. Uh-huh. We got to always do what he do. You know, and then you start getting an attitude and you start getting angry. You're like, I don't want to do what God want me to do. I want to do what I want to do because I know what's best for me. But then we forget he's who made us.
You ain't wrong. You ain't wrong. Made not, us. With the, not with the people's eyebrow. Who made us? If you, I can't pay that check. I can't pay that check, bro. But no, man, I think you're right. I think at the heart of it, if we're honest, God don't always answer as quickly as we want him to when we're making decisions, and to wait on him to give us direction, or at the very least to strive to pursue things that only brings him honor, you know, we're always going to struggle with that. For one reason, it requires us to be patient, and it requires us to take our will out of it. And none of us at the heart of it is really trying to naturally do that. That is experience, and that is submission, like we started with. And if we don't submit, we gonna get the experience. That's how I feel. And so I think you're on it. I think you own it. And
patience,
it's tricky.
Woo. Patience is key.
Uh-huh.
Patience is key. Waiting on the Lord. I know that I am in my waiting season.
Yeah.
And just with different things, you know, of my life. Okay, what's going to be next? Where am I going here? And, you know, that 5-year mark that everybody asks you, what are you going to be doing in 5 years? I don't know. Probably still following Jesus Christ, sir.
Yeah. So,
not saying that we shouldn't have a plan.
Yeah.
But if I have not received the plan, mm-hmm. from my Lord and Savior, I don't know what else to tell you.
No, you owed it. You owed it.
So I don't have a 5-year plan. I can make one up. I can do that. I can do my best ability. And I'm going to bring this into play. It's the same thing when we go down to Brazil. We have a plan.
We do. We do. And we really wanted to stick to the plan, but we got to be flexible. That's what my mentor told me, you know.
But we gotta have patience and be flexible and get down there and figure out possibly another plan. It's going to be what we came down there to do, the sports camp, the churches, the schools and the villages, things like that, but it might be in a different order.
I agree with you.
It's not that God doesn't want to help us. He sees our desires, but if it does not align to what he wants us to do, then he'll. And let me tell you something. This is another thing. He will give you what you want a lot of times. Mm-hmm. He'll give you that job that you've been crying your eyes out about, and then you finally get that job. And it's not what you thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm. You on it.
And he'll be like, right. So do you want to do it my way or your way?
Just let me know, big dog. No,
but
I think
you figure it out first. Go ahead.
No, you're on it. I think the thing for me, what I'm learning, and I think what you're describing, even the way I would put it in this season, is God will release us from his desires for us and allow us to pursue our own desires. I think he talks about it in Romans. That's what we're studying right now, where I think it's in Romans 1 or 2. He's saying, hey, they pursued lust. They pursued things that were even worldly to the Gentiles. They pursued after each other, woman and woman and man and man. And this isn't a slight at any social group. So if y'all send me an email, I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm not gonna read it. but it is to say, He's a gentleman. He allows us choice, even though he has a will for our life. And he waits on us to realize our choice wasn't the best decision. And literally the way the author of Romans put it is even though the people who knew God knew better, he still allowed them to pursue after the things of the world in hope, really, that they would draw back to him in repentance, right? Because they realized they traded creator for creation. Well, let me switch it. They traded creation for creator. And I think in doing that, the struggle bus is if you know what you had was better than what you have right now, even just practically speaking, but also spiritually, emotionally, or physically speaking, it causes you to do what the Greek translation of repentance is, which is turn away from it and draw back to God. But I think the thing is folks think they got a whole bunch of time. And that even leads us to the other question, which is, so if that's the case, how do I distinguish success based on God's will or my will? It's very simple, in my opinion, which is, hey, do you get more glory out of it, or does God get more glory? One. And then two, real simple, is it possible for you to do it without full dependence on God? If it is, that might not be what he's calling you to do right now, right? Because usually the stuff he's calling you to do is a step out in faith, right? Like us moving to North Carolina, that was, for me personally, a dependence on God. I had a very nice, high-paying IT job. And I actually liked what I did. Right? I hate my job. Let's set the record straight. I liked my job. I had flexibility. If I wanted to help the church, I'd help the church. Like, it's not my full time, so I love you guys. But, what am I trying to hide, okay? But it was that. Our kids were 6 months, and we had just bought our first house. Just in the market to sell that house in 3 weeks. I was like, okay, Lord, I can kind of see, you know, where things are moving. Like, off the record, on the record, we technically sold our house before the church voted on me coming. And I was like, oh, okay, did I move too quickly, Lord? Or it's like, nah, just wait on me. Oh, okay. But once again, something in which it's like, it won't happen unless the Lord is behind it. Yeah. And for us, if we was in that season and it's like looking shaky, what we would have had to do is go buy another house, because I understood the Lord had clearly told me to move this direction, you know, and take my family and my two six-month-year-old kids with me as well, you know. But what about you? How do you think, in your view, you've been able to distinguish my will, God's will, and the difference at times?
Oh, man. It's tricky. I feel like I'm not at peace when I'm not on the spiritual level. You can do what you want to do flesh-wise and go ahead and get whatever job that you want, accomplish as many accomplishments as you want. When God is not in it, there is that unpeaceful feeling that I know that I've dealt with many times. And I'm like, something ain't right. I got to go talk to God, fast, pray, something is off. Something is always off. I do not feel at peace when I am not in his will. So when that happens, I know I have to be more intentional on praying and talking with him. Really, I feel like heavier in my word. And you know, you do it daily, but I'm talking about 24 hours a day. You're like, okay,
interceding, boy. I just need to hear from you, Lord, please.
Yes. And just kind of fast and just really understand where he needs you to be at in that season. And it's hard, because I'll do that kicking and screaming, and then eventually, like, if you just do what I said, things will be so much better. And I'll be like, really? But you know, it's that fear that comes into play. Like, well, what if I'm not good enough? What if I fail? And you know, all of that. And he's just like, okay, what if you do fail? You're going to get back up. I'm going to be right here. And we're going to keep on moving. What other questions do you have? Like, life is not guaranteed to be easy. It's it's only guaranteed that he will be with you at all times. That's it. I don't know. That's the only difference. So anyways, back to what we were saying, peace.
Peace.
I know.
I mean, that was kind of what it was for us, where it was like, okay, this seems really crazy to every other person I talk to. Not only am I at peace, my wife's at peace. Okay, well, we're two or three gathered. I guess we're going to have to make this work, you know? But I think that is something that is sometimes diminished in the world we live in, the very modern world. Well, what is peace? That's just an illusion. No. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a peace that comes from God that is beyond our understanding when we keep our hearts and minds stayed on Him. That's what the scriptures say. And I think when we are not at peace, that is a red flag. Hey, have you really talked to me about this, or are you just hoping I put my stamp on it, like a genie or something, or a post office worker? Yeah. Like, that's not gonna fly. And I think sometimes He'll allow us to get that far just to be like, all right, so you want to talk about it now? No? Okay, I'll give you some time. All right, we'll talk about it later. You're not going to be able to make this step you're waiting on until we talk about it. So, but no. So, last question before we get to our last segment, which is kind of a food for thought. For you, do you find in your experience right now, and whether it be church, whether it be corporate, whether it be education, because you're in seminary kind of like me right now, you find that as folks become more successful, they gain more power or authority in their position, that influence causes them to really lose sight of God's will in the process?
Yes. If you are not careful, once again, of denying your flesh daily and picking up your cross and following Christ, then you will fall by the wayside with your relationship with Him, and also thinking that you did it and not Him.
God
will wipe an entire business out real quick if you begin to think that it was you and not Him.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Seen many people, everybody like, yeah, I'm going to marry a millionaire. That millionaire can get wiped out in a lickety split, just like that, honey. It don't take them that much. So if you think that your empire has been built off of you, you might want to think again, and you have to humble yourself. And it's hard, because when you're up there and everybody's pumping you up and, woo, girl, you good. Oh my gosh, you're an amazing person. Oh, you know how to do this and that. Nobody else can do it.
Okay.
Kind of, and I don't know if I should, well, let me see if I'm bringing in the right person.
Hey, you do your thing.
Let's do Samson, for instance.
Okay.
He was a powerful, mighty man, right? And for me, like, if it was already told and prophesied over him, if you get your hair chopped off, that is it, buddy.
Yeah, okay? You on it.
And it even says, I don't know the right verses, but go to Judges.
It's the Judges. You do it good.
It's in Judges for sure. I do know. But once his hair was chopped off, it says God left him. The Lord left him, right? On a spiritual,
on the spiritual side,
right? And it was like, when I saw that, I was like, man, it don't matter if he had all the muscles and guns and abs. When his hair was chopped off, which was a representation of God being with him, it was it was over for him. So if you want to think that your business and it's all about you, okay, get your hair chopped off.
I mean, you ain't wrong. And I think practically, and maybe even I do it with a practical side first. I think practically speaking, this happens without people realizing it, because as people are elevating you, you're kind of de-elevating God. And even like to me personally, I had a mentor and I appreciate him greatly, where I, because of what I saw growing up, didn't even do well with compliments. People like, oh man, you did such a great job last week, you know, at worship or, you know, with preaching or with the students. And I'm like, oh, great. But I wouldn't even say thank you, because I'm like, man, it's really not me. Mm-hmm. And a mentor of mine was like, man, I know why you're doing that. It's like you're trying to not even allow the window for pride to come in. Because another mentor was like, bro, it's okay to take karma. Like, you don't know where I came from. Yeah. No, I'm not doing that. That's a trap for me. I know it. You don't know me yet. Yes. He had me rolling because he was like, look, what I've done over the years of ministry is if I receive a compliment like that, I'll just say, hey, praise the Lord. That both closes the door and that makes the person feel as though, hey, oh, shoot, man, he really appreciated the compliment, because it kind of guards your heart. And I think practically speaking, when our heart isn't guarded, our emotions and our spiritual order and who gets all of the glory is off. And if those are off, practically speaking, our morality is going to be off. Because our morality is tied to our spiritual and emotional being, in which is obedient and humble to God. And so if those are off, now we're making justifications for sin, whether it be small or big. Well, you know, I go through a lot. I need this drink. I go through a lot. I need to hit this blunt. I go through a lot. Man, we just friends, but my wife don't know. Like, all of these things slip in, and as we continue justifying the sin, it leads to that moral failure, or it leads to that court case, whatever those things may be, because we have allowed the boosting of others to now come above pleasing God. Yeah. And there's but a matter of time in which now our moral and spiritual code is off, right? Yeah. Because it's not dependent on God. And what I loved is, like, Ecclesiastes went through a series at our church in Ecclesiastes. And I'm like, this is going to be a drag. I didn't tell the pastors. I was like, this is going to be a drag. Okay, I'm going to support y'all. I'm with y'all. This is going to be a drag. I'm going to try to stay awake. But when we did it in Ecclesiastes 1 all the way through 3, I believe, really the whole book, but 1 and 2 specifically, Solomon has gained this great wealth, but he realizes it's vanity. Mm-hmm. He is the richest ruler still known in all time, for argumentative sake. And he's also the wisest man of his time. And if you know the story with Solomon, he asked for the wisdom out of a humble state, which was, I want to rule a kingdom that I didn't really earn. That's wealth is above the charts as a superpower. And I want to protect God's people, but I am too young to be able to do it myself. Give me the wisdom to rule God's people well.
Yeah.
But it's his morality went off the charts, chasing after things of the world, realizing by the end, when he becomes an old man and writes the Ecclesiastes, like, it's all vanity. And I think that's when we can take from others and move forward in success from their failures, it helps us to then be able to walk out our faith well, which is, man, success means nothing.
Yeah.
Without a biblical holy life that's chasing after God.
That part, that is so, and without, and when people, because there are many people that have money, having too much money can be dangerous in the wrong things. That's why you have to have God intertwined. Okay, God, well, where do you want me to move this money to? Who do you need me to bless? Like, those are things. As a believer, as someone who is Christian, has a personal relationship with Christ, those are things you should be thinking about. Not like, how can I keep all this money? None of this is going with us. But none of it is going with us. It's staying right here on earth.
Yep.
It's staying right here. It ain't going to heaven. None of that. So it's better to see with God, how do I need to use the money and bless others so other lives can be transformed and their relationship with Christ can build, because it's like, wow, God bless me through that person, you know, and they can see God's glory, I guess. Not glory is the
or provision.
Word. Yeah, God's amazingness, the awesomeness that He is. So, anyways,
I love it. All right, so food for thought. This will be how we end off. From this discourse, what do you feel like is one takeaway you would give someone that is, or even you would hope someone would give you, right? That is, how do I pursue success, but also live out a biblical private life as well?
A private life?
So pursuing success, but doing it in a way that honors God.
Yeah. I would just say, whatever you do, always checking in with the Lord that's mm-hmm. what he wants you to truly do, mm-hmm. and being in obedience and submission to him on a daily basis, having that mm-hmm. personal close net relationship with him, because that's the only way you're going to really know to know what to do daily, really, mm-hmm. and to also have a successful life through Christ. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, yeah. That's good. Not, I think for me, with our conversation, it really is, hey, there is no success outside of God. And if I'm not allowing him in the conversation, then yes. I'm actually not allowing him to lead me. Right. And that's just got to be like, that's got to be the roadmap in which we live our life, or we're going to pursue success. And not even have him a part of it, you know?
Yeah.
But cool. This has been good. This has been good.
You said it in better words than I did. I said a bunch of words, but you you narrowed it down, my brother.
You got it. You got it, man. You got it, sis. But nah, so love doing this. Guys, this will be one of our pods on The Real God for Real People. Yes. If you want to leave feedback, we have an Instagram page. It's called Preacher Man S. And if you want to follow our Facebook page, it literally is Real God, the number 4 Real People. And it's a private group, so just ask to get added in. I promise I add you, unless you know, your Facebook page scares me. And then other than that, we just want to continually be doing this every week, because we believe that we serve a real God that desires to intervene in real people's lives every day. Yes. So we will catch y'all soon. Morgan, you want to say bye to the people?
Bye, guys, and hope to see you guys next time.
Hey.